Entering the Kingdom of God. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, September the 30th, 2007, and was taken from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 13 through 16.
Let's pray together. Father, we're grateful again for this chance to be in your presence. We pray now that as we come to your word, that you would open it to us. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and make application to our heart, to cause us to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. Father, as you speak, may we hear and may we seek to live the truth. May the truth we discover today be truth that sets us free, free to be the people of God who live to the glory of Christ, the glory of His church, and the glory of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a very legitimate question. I mean, it's the kind of question that people ought to be asking. What does a person need to know in order to be saved? What information is necessary for salvation? And is there a test? Is there something you need to know, and is there a test? And if there is a test, what if you do really good on the sin part, but not so good on the theology part? Or maybe it's really not like a test in that sense. Maybe it's more like a driver's test. Yeah, there's a little written section, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is, can you handle the car? So maybe the test for salvation is more like that. Maybe it has more to do with how you live. Can you control your life? Are there things that you avoid that you ought to avoid? Are there things that you do that you ought to do? Maybe that really is what it comes down to. Well, there are a lot of interesting answers to that question. What does a person need to know? A lot of interesting answers to the question, what's necessary for salvation? Hear all kinds of answers on the television, the radio, and from many pulpits. But the only thing that really matters is, what does God say? What has God revealed? What has God made known to us about salvation and how we enter the kingdom of God? Our text this morning is found in Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at verse 13 through verse 16. Now, we're during a time of increased hostility. Hostility is mounting. The religious establishment is getting more and more angered by Jesus and His teaching. They're upset with His popularity. They know that many of the things He's teaching cut right across the grain of what they have taught and what they have believed for years. So they're increasingly angry about all of this. The cross is just on the horizon. Jesus keeps talking about His need to go to Jerusalem. He keeps talking about the need for His dying. He keeps talking about, I'm going away from you. He keeps saying, I must go to Jerusalem, I must be rejected, I must die, and I must rise again. Jesus seems to be more and more focused and more committed, and the disciples seem to be more and more confused and seem to be understanding less unless. It's an interesting time in the life and the ministry of Jesus. See, while all of this is going on, while there is this sense of urgency and a sense of purpose, and while there is this increased hostility and all of this confusion, yet there are still great crowds that follow Him wherever He goes. And because Jesus is a master teacher, He always takes advantage of the teachable moment. Because Jesus understood human nature, because Jesus was so in tune with the people around Him, He always saw that opportunity when there was some form of crisis, there was some kind of disagreement, that there is an opportunity in that disagreement to teach something profound. And that really is the context for our passage today. Great crowds are coming to Jesus. And when they come, they're bringing their children to be blessed by Him. Now, this was an ancient custom among the Jewish people, probably dating back to the time of Jacob, or as he was known, Israel, when he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, and he laid his hands on them and gave them a blessing. And from that time on, whenever a great rabbi was in the area who was well known and considered important, people would come and bring their children to be blessed by the rabbi. So here we have Jesus is in the region, and all kinds of people are coming, and they're all bringing their kids, and they're all clamoring for his attention, and they're all wanting him to lay his hands on their children and bless them. You can imagine the noise, the confusion, and the chaos. The disciples are miffed, to say the least. They are angered by this intrusion. They feel like there are important things that need to be happening. They're upset because Jesus keeps insisting on going, and because they kept saying to him, this is not a good time. We really shouldn't be going now. I mean, this is not the time to go to Jerusalem. Jesus is saying, it is the time. And while they're trying to work all that out, and while they're trying to hammer it out, you've got all these people and all their kids, and they're tired of it. They are sick of it. And they also know the heart of Jesus and how he was compassionate toward all. And they said, it's consuming his time, it's consuming his energy. And I believe they were trying to protect Jesus by getting the kids out of there. I hope you can appreciate the scene. I hope you can understand the confusion of that moment. Now picture huge crowd of people, because you already know from the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, these were not typically small crowds. They were large crowds. So you can imagine all of these moms with all of these kids, and they're all standing in line, and they're all demanding they get a few precious moments with Jesus for Jesus to bless their child. And the disciples are going crazy. And so they're going up to these women, and they're saying, get these kids out of here. The last thing he needs, the last thing any of us needs, is a bunch of you nagging women and your snot-nosed kids. Get out of here. It's there in the Greek. Now, I really do think that's the atmosphere that's going on. I don't think they were saying, ladies, if you would please, this is not a good time. I think they were saying more along the lines of what I said. Because I think that's the way they looked at it. He is running the world. He is God. He doesn't need to put up with your kid. Get out of here. We don't need that. But Mark tells us that when Jesus saw that, he was indignant. And that's the only time that word is used in all of the New Testament. And it means he was much grieved. He was greatly disturbed. And it's the only time that strong term is used in all of the New Testament. It is interesting to note what upsets Jesus and why it upsets him. That's the context. Look with me beginning at verse 13 of Mark chapter 10. And they were bringing their children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Strong words. Powerful words. Surprising words. He said to his disciples, how dare you hinder? How dare you prevent? How dare you try to stand between me and these little ones? Put it in its context. Look up above this passage just a little bit. Look just ahead of this passage. And Jesus' warning of those who cause little ones to stumble. He's angry. He's indignant. But he sees an opportunity for a teachable moment. And so he says some very strong words. How strong are they? Look again at verse 15. In fact, look at the last part of that verse. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Strong. He didn't say, whoever doesn't become like a child, it's going to be really difficult for them to make it. He didn't say, boy, they're taking a real chance if they don't become like a child. He's saying, if they don't receive the kingdom in the way and a manner that a child does, they will not, period, ever enter the kingdom of God. I think if Jesus says to a certain attitude or a certain person, you will never enter the kingdom of God, we would do well to stop and look at that. It would be wise on our part if we would say, no, wait a minute. I don't want to be in that group. So what is he saying? What does it mean for us? Here's what I want us to hear from this passage. Entrance into the kingdom of God demands simple, childlike faith. What does a person need to know? How much information do they need to have? How do they need to exercise it? It comes down to this. If you are going to get into the kingdom of God, it must be by simple, childlike faith. Trust. Reliance. As a child. It's a powerful statement. It's a powerful truth that we really need to get a hold of because it cuts across the grain of the way we as human beings like to think about it. Because we're big on getting it the old-fashioned way. We're determined to earn it. Give me some great task. Give me some great thing that I must do so I can swell up with pride and say, I've done this great thing for God. But He says, you'll not get into the kingdom unless you come like this. With childlike faith. Now he is saying childlike, not childish. And there is a profound difference between the two. A childish faith is immature, silly, simplistic, and superstitious. And he didn't say you're going to get into the kingdom of God that way. You most certainly will not. But it must be childlike. What does that mean? At least two things. First of all, childlike faith is a helpless, dependent faith. A helpless, dependent faith. He says in verse 14, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now please hear. Jesus did not say the kingdom of God belongs to these children or to children in general, but those who are like children. What is he talking about? What is the primary quality of this childlike faith? Well, part of the answer comes in the word that's used in this passage. When it says they were bringing the children to Him, the word is the word for infant. That's why we read in the passage, and at the end of this passage, Jesus took them in His arms and He blessed them. We read the same thing in Luke and in Matthew's account. He's taking them in His arms. These are not large children, they're smaller children. He's picking them up, He's loving them, He's tender with them, because the word means an infant, a very small child. What does that imply? What is that saying to us about faith? The most distinctive thing about an infant is that it is completely, absolutely, totally helpless. An infant, in its objective state, when a child is born, regardless of its race, regardless of the culture in which it's born, regardless of the background of its parents, when that child enters the world, it is completely helpless. Unless someone else does something, that infant, that newborn, will not survive. That tiny little baby kicking and screaming that's so brilliant, that has your eyes, will not live if you lay it on a table and walk away. Because it is absolutely helpless. And unlike other creatures, that helplessness lasts quite a while. It's not a matter that they need help for a week or so. Some of you know because you're parents and you've been there and you've walked down that road and you found out, I didn't think they were ever going to get to the point they could take care of themselves. And just when I thought they were, just when I thought they could do something on their own, they became teenagers. And the male of the species tends to stay in this condition for a long period of time. The point is, an infant is helpless and hopeless. So what is Jesus saying when he says you must come as a child? He's saying the only way you're going to get into the kingdom of God is if you come and say, I can't do a thing in order to enter. I have to depend on someone else completely. Not partially, completely. If I don't, I can't possibly survive. This is the way we must come. And one of the reasons why these children were blessed is because they had nothing to show for themselves. No achievements. They came with empty hands. Jesus was saying to them in the first century, and he's screaming to us today, as he's been saying throughout the quarter of time, if you want to come into my kingdom, then you come like an infant. Absolute, complete, total, and actual dependence on another. That is the only way you'll enter the kingdom of God. Children of the kingdom enter because they are helpless. And they either enter the kingdom helpless or they do not enter the kingdom at all. It's not a matter that God looks at us and says, you know what? That one's really close. I'm going to give him a little boost. This one is really close to the kingdom, and with a little nudge, I can get him in there, so I'm going to give him a little bit. Oh, this one's further down. I'm going to have to pick that one up. But the only way anyone ever gets in is he picks them up and places them in the kingdom. Apart from that, there's no hope. Why? Because you and I are sinful. You and I are sinners. That's who we are. And we're sinners from the core of our being. And that means that everything we touch is tainted with our sin. Every good act I've ever done, any act of kindness I've ever shown, has been tainted by my sin. And therefore has been worthless in the sight of God as far as accomplishing righteousness. So it's not a matter that God requires this much and I've got 80% of it and he's going to fill in that extra 15%. He has to supply all of it or I don't get in. Let me tell you what that means on a very practical level. If you enter the kingdom of God. It will not be because of your faithfulness to this church or any other church. If you enter the kingdom of God, it will not be because of your sacrificial giving through your tithe and your offering. If you enter the kingdom of God, it will not be because of your faithfulness as a husband or a wife. It will not be your excellent example to your children. It will not be because of your testimony to co-workers or family or friends. It will be because of Christ alone. And if it is not by Christ alone, you're in this group that Jesus says will not enter the kingdom of God. Because childlike faith is a dependent faith. It says, I'm totally reliant upon another for my very existence, for my survival. If you enter the kingdom of God, it will be because of God's undeserved kindness toward your absolute helplessness. That's why Top Lady in his great hymn, Rock of Ages, wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked came to thee for dress, helpless looked to thee for grace. If you desire the kingdom of God, then you must give up any hope of earning your own way. If you're to enter the kingdom of God, you must abandon any hope or thought of satisfying God's righteous demands on your own. If you desire to enter the kingdom of God, you must come in simple, childlike faith. What is required of you to enter the kingdom of God? It is to come to the point that you become as an infant. What does that mean? You come to the point that you say, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to offer. I am helpless and without hope. And I put my trust in Christ and Him alone. Simple, childlike faith. Second, childlike faith is an unpretentious and accepting faith. Jesus moves in verse 15 from becoming as a child to receiving as a child. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Kent Hughes gives some characteristics of childlike receiving. First of all, childlike receiving exercises unbelievable trust. A child trusts others for everything. Food, shelter, clothing. Children are extremely trusting. Now, I've said this before, but it's absolutely true, and I marvel about it. The older I get, and the more I look at television news, and I hear all the stuff that goes on in the world, because I'll be honest with you, I never had a concept, never knew what it was, never ever experienced a stress headache as a child. I don't understand that. Because I'm old enough that I was allowed to be a child when I was a child. And what I mean by that is, it never entered my mind that there was something my dad couldn't take care of. It never entered my mind. Well, of course we're going to have dinner tonight. Well, of course we're going to be able to go do that. Of course I've got money for those shoes. Of course I've got, because my dad's going to handle that. The news comes on, there's a tornado heading this way. I mean, honestly, as a kid, it was like, so? Dad's here. It wasn't until I became a parent I realized how foolish that was. And you learn that as a parent the first time your child brings you one of those shredded balloons and says, fix it. Now the difference is, our Heavenly Father can take a shredded life and fix it. It's not a big deal. And a childlike faith is a faith that just trusts. There's no question. Of course it's going to be. If you've been around children at all, as a grandparent, as a parent, as a Sunday school teacher, a school teacher, you realize how literal they are about everything. And if you say, this will be done, then okay, it's going to be done. They don't understand contingencies. No, you said, therefore it will. There is an unbelievable trust. And a part of our childlikeness in coming to God and trusting and believing is to say, well, God promised this, so it will be. I don't doubt it. I don't question it. I don't wonder about it. I don't scratch my head. Because I have an unbelievable trust in what God has spoken. Second, there's a genuine humility in childlike faith and trust. Children don't engage in the various forms of pride that we adults indulge in. They're free from the pride of knowledge. Intellectual conceit is not a problem with them. They're teachable. And there is this humility about a child that they repent easily as a rule. Third, when it comes to a child receiving, there is a ready receptivity. Now here's what I mean by that. Children know how to receive. They take it. Never, never does a child say, well, you know, actually, I'm not sure, I'm really not sure that I'm deserving of this particular gift. I really don't know that my behavior has been at a level that would allow me to take this gift from you because I question whether or not I am worthy. No child ever does that. If it's there, they take it. When it comes to our faith and trust in God, in salvation, we must be childlike and simply take it. Because we are not deserving. We have not earned it. That's the whole point of a gift. A gift is undeserved. Grace is unmerited. And simple childlike faith says, it's offered and I take it. An unbelievable trust. A genuine humility about it. And an incredible ability to receive. And at the end of the day, there is unabashed love. Children return love for a loving gift. And so it must be with the kingdom of God. We love Him because He first loved us. What does it require to enter the kingdom of God? Let me quote again from Jesus, but this time from Matthew 18 and verse 3. I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. What's required of you today? That you come and acknowledge that you are a sinner, undeserving of the love and the grace and the forgiveness of God. And that you can never change, number one, because you are completely helpless and hopeless. That you understand that Christ died to pay the price of your rebellion, and He offers life and hope to all who will come to Him in faith. That you turn from your sin and your own striving and your own trying to earn your way and trying to be good enough, and you flee to Christ and trust in Him and Him alone. And if you will, I can assure you on the authority of this Word, you will enter the kingdom of God. not because of who you are, but in spite of who you are. Not because of what you've done, but because of what Christ did for you. What does it take? It's a matter of your saying you don't belong there, and you throw yourself on the mercy of God in Christ alone. Simple, childlike faith. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for passages like this that reveal to us your heart in salvation. Lord, there's not a one of us who's good enough. There's not one of us who is deserving of life eternal and life abundant. We are as infants, helpless and hopeless apart from your grace. But because you are loving, because you are merciful, you have given your Son in payment for our rebellion. And life and hope is offered to us through Christ. And that we'll become like children. And humbly, simply believe your word. Trusting in you. Accepting the work of Christ on our behalf. Trusting in Him and Him alone. It will be granted to us the privilege of becoming the children of the living God. We will be granted life eternal and life abundant. Life begins really for the first time. Heaven is assured reality because of Christ. And it all begins when we hear your loving voice calling us to repentance and life. Father, grant us courage to flee from our sin to Christ and believe with simple childlike faith today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.